I write novels mainly, and also plays.
I'm a poet. I often perform my work.
I'm a writer, mostly in the fields of science fiction, fantasy and horror.
This is World Words from the British Council, a 10-part series about contemporary British literature.
I've been writing for over 20 years and I've written over 50 books.
In each programme we meet a writer and discuss one of their poems or novels.
I'm a poet and a novelist. The bit I'm going to read from here is a part of a novel called...
Here's Karen Brody with World Words.
Now tell me, what kind of novels do you prefer? Fantasy stories that help you escape, like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings? Or realism, stories about recognisable places and problems? Today's book falls into the second category. It's set in London, but deals with something that's an issue across the world: teenage crime. A group of international students join us later to share some of their thoughts on this extract. But first, let's meet our guest author.
Hi, I'm Mallory Blackman, and I write books for children and young adults. And I was born in Clapham in London, and I now live in Kent in England. I've been writing for over 20 years, and I've written over 50 books. I'm going to read an extract from a book of mine called Double Cross, which is the fourth in a sequence of novels called the Noughts and Crosses sequence. And this book is about, basically, it's about a boy called Toby. In the extract I'm going to read, Toby needs some money and he lets his best friend Dan persuade him to deliver a couple of packages against his better judgment.
I hope you're now in the mood to meet Toby and his rather dodgy friend Dan. So sit back and enjoy this extract from Double Cross.
I still don't know, Dan said, a hint of exasperation in his voice. And asking too many questions in this line of work can get you into a whole heap of trouble. So, whatever I was carrying, it wasn't something you'd pick up in the local supermarket. It was illegal, and that meant dangerous. And dangerous meant I could end up in a youth detention centre, or in prison, or worse still, dead. Just this once and no more, I promise. Please let me get away with it, just this once. Dan contemplated me. What? I asked, irritated. Do you want some protection? Dan asked slowly. Something to calm your nerves? Like what? After giving me a scrutinising look, Dan struggled to pick up one of the closed boxes off the floor before dumping it on the only clear space on the table. I peered inside before recoiling. The box was filled with mean-looking knives. I mean, double-edged, big-arsed, wicked-looking, eviscerating combat knives, switchblades, kitchen knives. In fact, every knife known to man was represented in that box. God's sake, Dan, what's with all the armour? Therefore, protection. Protection from which invading army? I couldn't believe what I was seeing. There had to be at least 20 blades in that box, maybe more. Probably more. Dan, are you off your nut? I asked. I have to arm myself. The streets aren't safe, he told me. Yeah, 'cause tossers like you can't set foot outside your house without tooling up, I replied. God's sake, why do you need so many knives? You've only got two hands. Carry one of these and no one will mess with you. Do you want one or not? Asked Dan, peeved at my lack of appreciation for his hardware. One what? A knife. I have knives for every occasion. Dan launched into a pseudo-sales pitch. He picked up a knife at random. For example, this fine specimen is phosphate-treated and comes with a polymer sheath which is available in olive, camouflage and black. Hell no. Toby, I promise you, with one of these in your pocket, you'll... My response was heartfelt. No frickin' way. Suit yourself. Dan eyed me speculatively as he closed the box. I've got a couple of items even more effective than these knives. Dan, don't even go there, I warned. I'm not interested. Suit yourself. Thank you, I will, I replied. I ran a shaky hand over my sweaty forehead. Stop the world, I want to get off. I need to get out of here. Just give me the relevant names and addresses before I see sense and change my mind, I said. Walk away now, I told myself. The answer? Not without my money. I was already thinking of it as my money.
You're listening to World Words from the British Council, and that was Mallory Blackman reading from her novel Double Cross, a tale of teenage crime set in London. Also reading that extract were international students in Namibia. Most of them have never been to London, but they had no problems relating to what was going on.
I found the piece very entertaining, and I related to it because as a teenager of today, we are all exposed to peer pressure. And this is exactly what is happening right here.
It's just the same. The way people, like, you can hear a lot of stories like the newspaper or television, people showing that some people were stamped. Yeah, the situation is just the same here.
No difficulties for the students then, recognising the themes of peer pressure and teenage crime. Although they seem to think that things must be worse in London than in Namibia.
In our country, we don't have really strong gangs. I think that in developed countries, there are much more gangs and much more crime, a higher crime rate. Our country has a very small population, and I think population increases the crime rate.
The Namibian students think they know why Mallory chose to write about teenage crime. She's trying to pass on a warning.
I think the author is just giving the message to the young people or to the people who commit crime in order to change that attitude. That's the way of giving information.
So let's ask Mallory herself. Did she intend Double Cross to send out a message?
Well, in this particular book, I did want to discuss knife crime and gang culture and the fact that when you become a teenager, sometimes the peer pressure is always going to be stronger than the pressure you get from your parents and so on. And in this book, I wanted it to be about Toby, and Toby's very intelligent and he's doing well at school, but basically he's broke and he's desperate for some money, and he decides he's just going to deliver this one time. He's going to deliver two packages. That's it. Make some money. Toby does this because he wants to get the money to buy his girlfriend a birthday present. But of course, it all goes wrong.
As they discuss preparing for the delivery Dan wants Toby to do, the conversation between the boys uses expressions that aren't familiar to the students. In this clip, for example.
Dan, are you off your nut? I asked. I have to arm myself. The streets aren't safe, he told me. Yeah, because tossers like you can't set foot outside your house without tooling up, I replied. God's sake, why do you need so many knives? You've only got two hands. When I write, I do try and use language that is sort of teenage speak. Not too much, because I don't want it to get dated. But, for example, things like where Toby says, Dan, are you off your nut? Meaning sort of, Dan, are you mad? or are you insane? And Toby also says to Dan that he can't set foot outside his house without tooling up, which means without having some kind of weapon on him. And again, I just wanted to have it so it sounded like two teenage boys speaking. So I do try and make my dialogue authentic to the character that's actually speaking.
Do you know people like Toby and Dan?
Well, Dan and Toby are fictional characters, so they were just made up by me. But when I used to live in inner city London, I came across people like them who were into dodgy deals, and of course things I've seen on the television or things I've read in newspapers, they all inspired me as well, because as a writer you kind of take inspiration from anywhere and everywhere.
You're listening to World Words, a radio series from the British Council.
Using her knowledge of these characters, the environment and the dialogue, the author's message underlines the dangers of peer pressure. And to some extent, Toby is giving in to peer pressure in this extract, as he agrees to take the package for Dan. Mallory allows the reader to imagine the characters, and the Namibian students have formed a very vivid image of Dan.
I can describe Dan as a nude boy. He's just wearing those dirty clothes, maybe just a gangster. Just look like a gangster.
I would describe him as somebody with his jeans hanging down, and he's got a sneaker, and he's got a lot of jewelry, which he obviously robbed some old lady or rich man, and he's got his wallet, he's got his iPod, he's got a tattoo on the arm. So yeah, that's what I like in draw him. If I were to draw him, he'd look exactly like that.
Well, I don't know what he looks like, but how does Mallory describe Dan's illegal activities?
Dan sees himself as the survivor. He's basically doing what he needs to do to survive and make a living. And because he doesn't have Toby's intelligence, he feels it's not, he can't really get a sort of regular job. So the only thing way he can make a living is to do things that are a bit dodgy. He doesn't see himself as a criminal as such, but he does see himself as perhaps under the legal radar.
It seems to me that Dan sounds like the kind of boy you'd cross the road to avoid. When Dan asks Toby to do the delivery job for him, he shows him a large selection of knives and then offers him some even stronger protection.
I've got a couple of items even more effective than these knives.
Dan, don't even go there, I warned. I'm not interested. Suit yourself.
One of the students tried to guess what this was.
When the guy refuses to take one of the knives, he says that he's got something better or something stronger, which obviously should be a gun, because the thing that's stronger than a knife would be a gun, and it is much more effective.
So are there firearms in that second box? Mallory isn't giving anything away.
Well, I could tell you, but I'm not going to. You're going to have to read the book, I'm afraid.
OK, we'll have to read the novel to find out what Toby refuses to take as protection and to find out what he ends up delivering. As Mallory said, it's something very nasty. If you want to look out for Mallory Blackman's novel, her name is spelt M-A-L-O-R-I-E B-L-A-C-K-M-A-N. And the title of the novel is Double Cross, and it's part of a series called Noughts and Crosses. And that's all for this edition of World Words from the British Council. Thanks to Mallory Blackman for joining us. And also, my thanks to the international students in Namibia for their thoughts on the story. I leave you with a chance to hear some of that extract again. Here's Mallory Blackman.
Why do you need so many knives? You've only got two hands.
Carry one of these and no one will mess with you. Do you want one or not? Asked Dan, peeved at my lack of appreciation for his hardware.
One what? A knife. I have knives for every occasion.
Dan launched into a pseudo-sales pitch. He picked up a knife at random. For example, this fine specimen is phosphate-treated and comes with a polymer sheath which is available in olive, camouflage and black.
Hell no! Toby, I promise you, with one of these in your pocket, you'll...
My response was heartfelt.
No frickin' way.
Suit yourself. Dan eyed me speculatively as he closed the box.
I've got a couple of items even more effective than these knives.
That was World Words with Karen Brodie. For a copy of that extract and more information, go to the British Council's website. The address is www.britishcouncil.org/literature.